It's a little bit more technical. But those are the two options.
There's probably more Kabbalistic Yesodos that come out of here, and this piece in the Ramchal is so incredibly geschmack. It's a wonder to me that not everybody on the planet teaches it. So they're both really incredible, and you can't lose in this.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm putting it out to you.
No, Gershenbo has taught us. So is both.
That is the right answer.
Yeah, man.
Man, I gotta get my watch.
On that note.
Anyone feeling inspired by the spiritual realms of what we should be doing here? Yeah, but what's sparking your neshama for the Shabbos we're about to go into?
I'm telling you guys, you can't lose.
That's the problem, Rav.
Is it Ramchal that everyone should learn?
It is a Ramchal that everyone should learn. Yeah.
Like what happened in Mount Meru?
Right.
Is it like Ravali?
Look, if there's enough, I don't mind doing both. I mean, if there's enough time in there.
Actually, I have been in you know, Matan Torah a lot recently, so I'd love to hear if there's a crucial Ramchal. It sounds awesome.
How many times Matan Torah?
I think so. I think it is a crucial Ramchal. We can always do this next week.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's up. This one only came out one side. It's supposed to be two sides. Okay, one second. Some of them came out. This is a match, so let me hold on to these. I think the rest have them together. Okay.
I'm actually okay to have them in separate because the way my notebook's working right now. If that's better for you.
That bother me?
Cool.
There's one. I think it's two sides.
Mm-hmm.
One sheet.
Oh, okay. There's one.
Yeah. There's more. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kemaimra Vikuach is one of, it's printed in this sefer of the Ramchal. If you see these, there's like a 6-volume set. Inside some of the svarim, there are actually several svarim. You know, because some of the svarim aren't this long, they're printed together. So Maimra Vikuach is this kind of opening sefer here. Which is unbelievable. It's his piece on why everyone has to learn Kabbalah. That's his sefer.
Which volume is that?
This is volume 3.
Yeah.
In Trier Ramchal. It's an incredible, incredible piece, incredible sefer. It's a mimer. He calls it Mimer of Vikuach. And like Das Tunis, it's a conversation. If I recall, this is the one where it's between the Mekubal and the Choker. The conversation between the Kabbalist and the intellect. And the intellectual, who's always asking questions from, it's the scientist and the mystic, that's what it is, and they are talking about why Kabbalah is important. Amazing sefer. These are the opening pages. And just to tie us back into the two things. Number one, obviously, this is. We're going to come back. This is the end of this week's Parsha, where it goes back to the revelation of Sinai at the end of Mishpatim, and all of what happened in Yisro. But ultimately, the Yisod that's going to come out of here is what we've been talking about in all the Shirim till now, which is Kulam b'chachma sisa, the whole world's created with chachma, and then the whole world's covered up, and we don't see it. So, what is life about?
Both.
Life is about both. Both, but when you say that, what do you mean?
You need the Kabbalah. I mean, like, yeah, we've heard, I think it was like through Ravoli, who, like the idea is like they go both the ways, you connect them, like the more you understand like the big picture and the details, that's when you're able to unify them and live by connecting, so you're able to live by
right. Meaning life is about being here, obviously. If Hashem didn't want us in a physical plane, we wouldn't be in a physical plane. So life is about being here, but it's about coming to that place where what you're perceiving does not end here, right? And we're creating this devekus, this chibur, this connection between Shemayim va'aretz, right? Between Neshama and the Guf, between Ruch Nis and Gashmius. That's That's the whole tachlis of the Bria, right? It's coming to Yichud, right? This revelation of unity. And that's what the trajectory of life is like. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadik Zayin, right, famously says there's 2,000 years. The world breaks down into 6,000 years, right? So there's 2,000 years of
Tohu,
that's right, and then 2,000 years of
Torah,
good, and then 2,000 years of Mashiach, good.
What's Tohu, sir?
Tohu means like confusion. Which, of course, reflect the idea of Chachma, Bina, and Das, and reflect the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before creation, there's only Hashem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a world, and what does the beginning of our life look like? This is gonna be true for everything. It's gonna be true in our own personal lives. It's gonna be true in all of universal history. It's gonna be true in terms of your learning. This is like the yesod for everything in life. This progression, right? The beginning of everything is tohu, confusion. I just get information. It's new. It's fresh. It's have to figure it all out. And that's like when you first get information, and it's whatever you see on the outside. And if you only live in a world of material, right, your life ultimately remains tohu. It doesn't go. If you don't get to some spiritual energy that's behind that, some new information that connects pieces together, a world of bina. So I just have dots. I have dots everywhere. And you know those things, like your kids come home and you've got all the dots and they have to connect all the dots together. Right?
I thought you were talking about the poppers.
No, those are fun too. Connect the dots, right? You have to make, you're just given dots. So when you're just given dots and someone says, look at the duck, and you're like, there's no duck, it's just dots. Right? And it's like, oh, you're still in tohu, right? You just have the information. You haven't done anything with it yet, right? So that's the beginning stage in the evolution of our consciousness, right?
With a baby, right?
The same thing with a baby, right? Everything is literally dots. Like, don't know how to put things together. And perception is forming as the baby grows.
Ever seen this as chokhmah?
And that's a bechina of chokhmah without any engagement. It's like raw information, unprocessed, unfiltered, not understood. Pure experience. Without any context, so that looks in every you can apply this structure. It's like a meta structure. You can apply it everywhere. So, in our basic vision, there's a child, an adult, and then a wise old man, right? Right. Or a wiser person, right? You don't have to get old to get wise, but there's that version of it. There's going to be how we relate to information. First information is raw and not understood, that's tohu. Then we're going to understand it, and then there's going to be an integration of new awareness, right? And then when we plug it back into the series in the beginning of Chachma, where we spoke about the yud, having the top of the yud, the middle of the yud, the bottom of the yud, right? The three levels, right? The bechinas nefesh, ruach, neshama, that whole system that we went through, right? The gra, where we said there's these three madregos to Chachma. There's like outer Chachma or lower Chachma, and then Chachma be'etzem, and then the shorish of Chachma, which is connecting you to the Ein Sof. It's the same thing there too. So if you just relate it to the world physically, materially, so you have dots in your life. But ultimately, that's why people have midlife crises. It's why the world suffers from anxiety and depression. It's like the more that they were identified with form and that reality as being the essential reality, there's tohu. Your life is tohu. There's no rhyme or reason to anything. Then if you were to go to one level deeper where there's meaning and spiritual energy in your life, it's like, oh, I understand why my life is the way it is, and your life is less tohu-oriented. But when you go all the way up and all the way in, you're going to come to new realizations about life because you're connected to the Shoresh, you're connected to Hashem. That's how Hashem breaks up reality. The first 2,000 years are humankind working things out. The next 2,000 years is Torah. Torah over here is a bechina of bina, which is working on understanding how the pieces fit together. It's going back and saying, okay, wait, I see it. There's all this stuff, right? Now, where's this plugging into? Where's the context for everything in my life? And then once we understand, And it's during that time that we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, we get the Avos. It's during that time that we have the Beis HaMikdash and their destruction, right?
Avos was before.
Avram starts Torah, the 2,000 years of Torah. Because Avram's the Shoresh of Torah, right? Meaning in terms of, you need a Klal Yisrael to get a Torah, Avram starts the 2,000 years of Torah. And so those 2,000 years, you have the Avos, you have Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satorah, Beis HaMikdash, destruction of the temples, fine. And then you have the last chelek, which is, okay, we figured out how to work within this world. We figured out we need religion and metastructure, but we messed it all up. How do we put all the pieces together in such a way that we live for the tachlis of the Bria? Those are the last 2,000 years, which are the times that lead into Mashiach, which is going to be a world revelation consciousness of, we're here. Like, that's what we've been working on the last 2,000 years. Yeah?
Is that the start in the destruction of the second temple?
I don't know when it's ended at the beginning of the year 5,000, right? The end of 4,999, right? So we'd have to look. I don't have a history thing in front of me, but I'm sure we could go on Google and find exactly where that point was.
Yeah. Why is this 2,000 years of Torah and this Bina middle stage almost synonymous with destruction?
It's not.
No, but I mean, if we had done it right, then it would have been that there would only been Chochmah Bina. Or it would have been, I mean, we lost the first temple, we lost the second temple, so clearly something went wrong. So, I mean, it almost sounds like because reality, you said it was a metastructure, you have these three different parts, then we had to get to the third part eventually, so the second one's incomplete.
You have a sister?
Yeah.
You ever fight with your sister?
No.
Baruch Hashem. You have a sister? Good.
Yeah.
Right, of course. And should you?
I don't know. A weird question. Yes.
Yes, I should. Okay. Should you fight with anybody? Do we want Muhammad in the world?
No.
No. Okay. We've all been in relationships where we know we shouldn't think, say, do whatever we're not supposed to think, say, do, and then we do it anyway. But you knew you're not supposed to. This is life. Why is that? You've worked it out enough. You know that it's not going to lead in the right direction. It's you understand all the principles, and yet we go and we make mistakes.
We didn't integrate.
Right. It's still Torah.
Right.
It's not yet Das. Mm. It's still an idea. Mm. So it's not that it's represented by destruction, but it's that if you only remain in idea, then you're going to miss it.
Well, but it's interesting because I thought you said Chachma was the idea. And then Bina was the integration. You're saying
it's understanding. Program. It's understanding. It's not integration.
Understanding.
Meaning I can get... Ragla Yeretz Mavis?
Was it?
Right, good. That's Chachma. I gave you something, but you have no idea what I mean. Yeah? his legs go down to death.
So now I understand. I don't...
Right. You have a little bit more, right? It's speaking about Malchus. It's speaking about the bottom of the 10 spheres. It's speaking about the physical reality, that it has legs that go down to Mavis. Right? So I'm giving you more and more pieces. Each one of those pieces is an aspect of Chachma, and then eventually I can tell you, oh, what it means to say is that when you engage with the physical world, you run the risk of going down into a place of Misa, being cut off from the Aleph. That's why it says it has legs that go down into the world of death. Because mm-hmm. if you only engage with the physical reality, but you don't keep yourself connected up here, you run the risk of getting cut off from the Aleph, and that's a Bechina of Misa. And you go, ah, that's a nice board. Beautiful. But it has nothing to do with your life. Right, it didn't become part of your cosmic consciousness.
Interesting. I always thought that was Chachma. I hear you saying
everything's in stages. That's what I was saying before. It's a meta structure that's always going to be true at every step
correct.
Along the way. Exactly. So we're looking meta here, all of reality. From beginning of Adam Rishon to Yemosa Mashiach, world goes through these stages. Right? So the world goes through a stage of in Mesopotamia, when they start writing, 5,500 years ago, and they're like, oh, we can write stuff down. Right? That was huge, right? I don't know what they wrote down. They just, they could. It was like, we can transfer information, right? Like, that's a big deal. And everything's being worked out. And then you get to Avram Avinu. He's like, wait, there's more to life. It's like, whoa, revelation. right? There's like some sort of Borei Olam. And we go through 2,000 years of that. And people, there were individuals along the way who have das, and individuals who along the way who have these things. But as a collective, we're not there, right? This is whenever you're looking at the whole history, we're talking about the world getting to a certain place. So the world doesn't get there yet. But you have a Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, you have an Aaron Cohen, you have a David Melech, you get a Shlomo Melech, you get these massive lights along the way who have kind of like that Mashiach consciousness, if you will. But it hasn't gone down into the collective. We haven't gone through that. So, yeah, you do have to get to the end of Bina. And then what happens? The Gemara, I think it's in Gittin, that says you can't be Kone Torah unless you make a mistake, right? Ein Torah Niknes El B'Misha Nechshal Aleim. You have to make a... Yeah, it's Mem?
Mem Zanih.
There you go. So you have to make mistakes in Torah in order to understand and get a kinyan in it, which means we went, we understood, and we messed up royally, and now we continue to go through this process of trying to work out, well, what's it all about? What's it all about? How are we going to integrate and integrate and integrate as we get closer to...
Until like a tipping
point? Huh?
Until like a tipping point?
Right.
Yeah.
Until
it
you
sounds
get...
like Obvious Adoris, though. So
yeah.
This is, okay.
Yep. We did.
This is the classic collective.
It's like a flattening out. Like you have these lights, these big lights, and then
exactly
you flatten it out into everyone.
Exactly right. Which, and you do that, by the way, in your metaphor, it kind of sounds like it's coming down, but what happens when you do that is then it does that.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the world has to have an aliyah at that point. So big lights come down like this, and then the whole thing starts to go up, and that's now we say the world changed, right? So in the beginning, just the U.S. Army and the Navy had the internet, right? It was just there. But eventually, it has to go out, and then they build Web 2.0 and then Web 3.0 and like and then the world changes, right, with that. So there's first a dissemination, which is like, okay, maybe the best computers aren't up here anymore and everybody has, you know, lower level stuff, but then everybody builds better and better and better, and then that the whole thing rises when it goes out.
That's what the Jews are, I guess, right?
Right, that's
where the internet.
Tachlis, yes, if you will. if that's a metaphor you like. Okay, why do I bring that all up? Because there's right before creation, and there's when there's the Gili of Mashiach, and then there's this point in the middle, which is Matan Torah. Those are the three places where there's a collective clarity on God.
Sorry, right? At the end, the final 2000 is called
Mashiach.
It's called. Why is it called Mashiach? That's not until the end.
The whole thing is creating the experience that results in this new consciousness. That's what the whole purpose of that time is.
So you're saying this is the absolute middle point between the three sections?
Torah?
Yeah.
The Gilu, yeah. This is the middle, right? So there's before creation, then there's Yemos HaMashiach, or the end of Olam HaZeh as we know it, like now. And then there's this point in the middle, which connects them all together, where Hashem says, by the way, this is where we're going. This is what's going to be happening at Matan Torah, and that's the relevant. This is why Matan Torah is so important, because everything we've been building up to till now, there's a point where Kadosh Baruch Hu goes, here's the answer. Right? You've been dealing with the question all the time. Here's the answer. It's going to be for a moment, because you're all going to die. If I show you the answer now, you can't hold it yet. You don't have the kalim for it. So it's like you're trying to fill a cup with a fire hose. So the cup's going to explode. You can't hold it. But for the sake of reality, I'm going to show you, and that's what we're going to look at over here, which is I'm going to show you what all of life is about. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malachim, "Mi gila razu, who told the secret to these people?" Right? They said Nasa v'nishma. Like, what was happening? Why did they say Nasa? Like, where did the Nasa come from, right? And that's at the end of this expression when they say Nasa v'nishma, right? Why is... Where did the Nasa come from?
This moment happened right in the middle, like in year 3000?
No.
Okay.
No.
Spiritually.
It's the spiritual center. Yeah. Which has parts to it, right? There's the Yitzia of Mitzrayim, then there's the Gili of Matan Torah, then there's being in the Beis HaMikdash, which again, these are microcosms of the bigger, like, first Beis HaMikdash is a microcosm of going from Galus to Geula.
Right?
But then we lose that, so then we extend and we go bigger, and the more you look out, you say, oh, the whole thing is the evolution of our consciousness back to the state of pre-Chet Adam Rishon. Oh, right, that's what we've been doing the whole time. That is the the, you know, we're waiting for critical mass and then it goes like this. But you need, there's a special person that comes and helps us make that turn. And that is what Mashiach is. But we're moving in that direction, which creates the fertile ground for that to take place. And this is right in the middle, which we go, now we have that clarity, which we'll need for the next 4,000 years as we move in that direction. And this is going to change the face of the world, right? This is the beginning of religion, this, for all intents and purposes.
What year was it, Matar?
So we can do the math. That's right. That
two,
is.
Four, four,
I know it ends 4-8. So if it's 2-4, I thought it's not 2-3-4-8 or 2-4. I don't know. I think 2-4-4-8 sounds right to me. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Maimar Avikuach Hakdamas Hamachaber. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Avinu Shebashamayim Asher Bachar Banu Lios Lola Am Segula. Right? God. Zos nasan lanu la'os.
That was great.
Zos nasan lanu la'os ahavaso. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, with the sign of His love. Vasher hu mavdil osanu mikol ha'amim. It was a special gift to us from all the other nations. Yedias shmo hagadol v'sod ma'isav ha'niflaim. He gave us the secret of His name and the secret of all the supernatural events and actions. She'ef Sharlashum Briya La Amur Aleim. These aren't things that you can just intuit. Ella Bima Shahu Meir Enayim.
Intuit. Like grasp?
Yeah, you can't understand them on their own.
Right.
Ella Bima Shahu Meir Enayim. God had to enlighten their eyes. If you just looked at the world and stared at a tree long enough, you're not going to understand the ten spheros. It's just you're not going to get that hasaga.
What about Abraham Avinu? He's saying we took that away from Abraham?
No, he understood other things, and then there had to be a revelation. That's what it means. Abraham had nevuah, right? So he stared until he came to the hasaga that there's a God, and then at some point, he actually has his first nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what it's Hashem was meir enav. Right, that it didn't come from thinking. It came from not thinking. It came from Hashem saying, "Okay, you've thought enough here." Right. El b'mashu meir einayim umatzil aleim eirucho. He had to emanate from upon him, right, from his spirit. He put it on them. So there's a point where your thinking ends, and you have to receive something else. The flash has to come from above, some other deeper part of who you are. Your neshama, there's a neshama dika spark that has a certain revelation, and you are able to channel that, and now you get a hasaga, a spiritual understanding that was beyond what made sense to understand from whatever it is you were thinking about or looking at. V'chein amar Eliyahu, achein ruachi be'enosh v'nisma shakai tefineim. It is indeed spirit that's in man, and the soul of God, through the soul of God, he'll understand. That's what it means when in the Pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, the energy or the power of his maisim, he told to his nation, right? And he's saying over there, the koach ma'asav, the koach, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us. It's not just ideas and science. Because God hid the light of the Shekhinah from the physical material world, and He constricted it, He hid it in a spiritual way, like it says, Hashamayim Shamayim La Hashem, the heavens belong to God. Nimshach mizeh shebnei adam lo yedu v'lo yavinu el pu'ulos Hashem la'amitam. Comes out because God made it tzimtzum. Man doesn't know or understand how God acts completely, right? In truth, right? In its entirety. We can pick up a lot of things from the world. We can pick up a lot of things from the Bria. We can pick up a lot of things from studying the human being. But at the end of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu hid a spiritual reality behind the physical world, and at some point there had to be revelation. Ukamosha hu manhegas olamo beemes ukama, like for example, the way that God guides the world, elatalu akol beteva. God made it look like everything is nature,
So what's Menahiga again?
Guides.
Guides.
Yeah. Ella talu akol b'teva, rather he hung everything on nature, u'bamarechos ha'shamayim v'kisleim, and in astrology. V'ha'kofrim ha'rishonim, and the original kofrim, before David Hawkins, is that his name? Stephen Hawkins.
What a year.
Stephen Hawkins, David Hawkins. That, well, the one that says that calls all his books "There's No God."
Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins. That's what I'm looking for. The Kofrim Harishonim Chashvu. They thought the La'avodis Kol Tzva Hashemayim Bidrachim Hayodim Lahem. They thought to worship the stars. That's why we call them Ovdei Kochavim. Sha'ayu Mamshichim Kochoseim Lamata Al Pi Derech Hashba'asim. They knew how to draw down their power through this hashpa, and so and they knew how to do that. And there is energy in the world, so they said, "Look, that we should serve this." V'kol zeba mimasha'en hanhagas hashchina hakadusha misgalis begali ba'olam. All of kfira only happens because the ways of Hashem are hidden in the world; they're not revealed begali. Ela b'derech nister, rather they're hidden. So it's almost like you have to be aware that it can even exist. Now, again, this changes after Matan Torah, because then the world comes to this understanding that, oh, it's not physical power. There is a spiritual source behind everything. We call it Hashem, and then that's going to spread out into the world, and people are going to call it whatever they're going to call it. But there is a shift in the world, and that's what we're going to look at right here. Right? By the way, Masha Enkin HaMalachim, he says, not true by the angels. Shemakomam hu b'shamayim. They live in a spiritual dimension. Makom she'shchina megala sham es memshalta. They perceive the seeing, the revelation of how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Ba'omdim b'hem, and what the world stands on. Yodim ha'emes shenistar meyoshvei ha'aretz. They see the truth which is hidden from those living in Asiya, in a physical world.
Why did he bring that up? What's the havmin he was beforehand here?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Nice. It's like, seems pretty posh it.
Yeah, that does seem posh it. I agree with you.
No, I was going to say, my question was, I thought before I said Shemayim Hashem, we're saying that like there's a world where only exists Hashem, that revelation, everything else is living in the world of Tzimtzum.
Right. But he's saying this is Shemayim.
He's saying that it's awesome.
It could be, it's a good question. I hadn't thought about it. But I would say that one can understand then that he's saying, oh, don't need to use your ink. Right. Could be that he's making a remez to this. I'm not sure. One could have thought Atzilus is Shemayim, and everything under that is Aretz. One could have thought he's making that distinction. Hashemayim, Shemayim, LaHashem, because this is where the Shem Hashem is, essentially, which is in the top of all the Olamos, right? That's where we say, you know, God is not in time or place. But if God were in a time or place conceptually, so we could discuss it, this is where God is. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Even though God is all
saying he's really above it also.
Above it, in it, below it, there's, yeah. I mean, all of it. Yeah? But
so.
When, right, but when we're pointing, and we're saying, like, there's Hashem, Zekei Livan Veyu, we're pointing up here. So one could have maybe thought Aretz means everything under that. So Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, Va'aretz Nasan Lifnei Adam. And it could be that he's coming to say no. That really, this is what we're speaking about. Aretz Nasan Lifnei Adam. I have a kasha on that, but let's leave that for now. And because Malachim are here. Right? Malachim exists primarily on this plane. And that would be what he was just being mechadish to us. Neshamos are up here, and then Hashem up here, people down here.
Is that Nahum?
No. Which part?
No.
Which one's called Aretz?
Yeah.
No, it could be that he's just saying that's the pshat in the pasuk, and he's coming to Megala that by saying that. I don't know. I'd have to think about it more. I hadn't thought about it.
We didn't have this before. I thought they were more like they were super religious back in the day. They were just super
pagan. Right, but what is paganism?
I guess you're really just worshiping forces in the world, not an underlying force.
Right.
It's like, it just, I want to just kind of manipulate, it's like being an alchemist, kind of. Just in kind of.
Yeah, but like it's I have too much honor and respect for the world, for metals and wood and air and water. I have so much reverence for the world itself that I start to worship it. And I see that there is force in the world. There's a certain thing. Wind has a certain power, and fire has a certain power, and the Ma'arachos have in Shemayim have a astrological power, and you know. And so I worship that, and we take that too far. We don't see that there's a hanhaga.
Got it. Okay.
And even if you see there's a hanhaga, like Avraham Avinu saw there was a hanhaga, you don't necessarily understand the hanhaga. You don't see how it all works and how it comes together, and you don't perceive the all-making senseness of it, and the order. So I think order is the right word here. You don't see how everything has a very specific and exact order to the Bria. It just, it's tohu. It's all in its own places, and this has power, and so we can fight over which one is more powerful, water or fire. We can fight over which one's more powerful, the sun or the moon or Mars, right? And we can fight over, because you don't really know. It's just happening.
And even after like Matan Torah with like the temple times that there was at a worship, I think like how Rambam says, it's like, okay, I recognize there's a God, but I have so much like fear for him. It's like, who am I to directly speak to him?
I'll speak to a shliach.
So I have a shliach through all the...
Right, through the forces.
Right, through the forces itself.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Aval. Kesheratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Lahakriv Elav Umaso HaChaviva Lama'od, when he wanted to bring close his beloved nation, Hinei Kara Es HaShemayim, he ripped open Shemayim. Again, so he just said Shemayim was all for Hashem, and now he's ripped that open. V'Gila Lahem Es Mastorin Shelo, he revealed to him that which was his hidden pieces, right? So that's what we saw. Ad sheyedu kulam v'nisbaru lehem ha'emes. They knew, they all knew, and the emes of reality became clear.
Shelo Abraham? To who?
No. V'gila lehem es masturin shelo. He revealed to them his, i.e. God's, hidden things. His
to
hidden,
them being the Jewish nation.
To them being the Jewish nation. Yeah. Ad sheyedu kulam v'nisbaru lehem ha'emes. They came to a higher knowing of what emes is. Shekol hanhaga shel ha'tachtonim. They saw that everything down here in this world, b'chol ha'pratus she'efshar lachshov, in every single detail that one can possibly imagine, eina ela b'yad ha'shechina. It's mamish, all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was a new perception of consciousness that had entered the world. That's what happens. In that moment, they say, oh, eino milvada.
Is this why it's considered like a chuppah? Because in the same way that a husband and wife, there's a das that happens in that chibur, the same way we,
Yep. Absolutely. Ve'ein lecha davar katan ba'olam she'ein omdim alav kama inyanim ramim ve'gavoa ma'od. There's nothing small in this world that doesn't stand upon many elevated spiritual things, very, very high and elevated. Everything in this world that you see is actually an expression of deep, deep, high, high spiritual energy and connection. V'az yedu v'hevinu, that's when they knew and understood, kol sod habriya, they understood the secret of creation, alma nivra kol ha'olam, they understood the tachlis of the briya, on what, right? Meaning for what purpose was the world created? V'alma omed, and what continues to power and energize reality? V'al ezed derech misnaheg, and how the world is guided and moves and directed? Uma achris kol ela hadvarim, and what's going to happen at the end of all of this? All of that became clear. V'yedu omek etzasa yisbarach shemo. They were able to know and understand the depth of every decision that God ever made. V'nivraim ha'gedolim shebaro l'chvodo, and the great creations that were all created were all to reveal the kavod of Hashem. V'gam ra'u, they also saw Eich b'nei ha'olam hazeh hochem b'choshech. They also saw how the whole world walks in darkness. They saw how the world is asleep, spiritually speaking, totally unconscious and living in a dark place. Ba'emes nistar me'eneim. They saw that the world was their the truth was hidden from their eyes. Ve'eich heniach ha'kadosh baruch hu b'olam hazeh ha'michshalos. They saw how God placed the world in such a way where Rishayim make mistakes. Because he is hidden from the people of this world. Right? So now there's Rishus for the Yetzirah and the Satan to go against God. People can be seduced by their yetzaharas, bekama mine mirma v'kazav, they can be making mistakes. Shalev ha'adam nifta achareim, a person's heart and emotions will be drawn after them. V'toa bekama tu'uyos, and they'll make many mistakes. V'choshev sha'olam eno holech ela al pi ha'teva hazeh shenir le'inayim, and they'll think that the world is only natural, that there's no spiritual reality behind it. So let's just pause here for 1 second. Yeah, like, first of all, can we just like do a quick recap of everything he just said? Right, and again, it is not the following. It is not like God opened up a screen in Shemayim and then they were reading a list of all the different things of how it worked. It's like, it's an immediate, a knowing that's shown. It's a revelation. Doesn't come in parts. It comes in a full immersive experience, right? So in that moment of Hashem was kara es Hashemayim, right? In that moment, they knew nothing in this world happens without being biyat Hashchin. That they understood how everything works, why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what's going to happen after this, how everybody's walking around in darkness, how the world is completely unconscious, why we're all wrapped up in our Yetziharas, why the slave is running after everything, why we're able to make mistakes, why mistakes happen, all of that was known in an instant. Right? That's what we're talking about.
Clarity of Bina in a moment.
Right, well, this is Das. And that's what he's going to say. There was a moment of Gilui Das, right? And again, it's pulled back, right? So that we can now work on it. Right, and that's going to be our stage of Bina. But there's this Gilui, a revelation of the whole thing, all the pieces together. The reason why it's not integrated Das is because they had that experience, and then a few weeks later,
I
did the Egel.
Das was only integrated, like,
that's right. But
external Das.
That's right. But you can have a. That's why I'm afraid to go there to explain technically what's going on here. And I almost first brought the piece from the Shari Yichudva, the Shari Avoda, over here, where he makes the nuanced chiluk, which I want to express, but I'm not going to right now, of when do we say chachma and when do we say das, right? Because this is what I'm describing, a chachma experience, but it's a chachma experience that you can only experience through your das, while we're in a state that's being called bina. So it's too complex for this moment, and maybe we can come back to it. But that's the idea. It's not like they were sitting and reading a book, and it's not like God was telling them, by the way, this is how I do this, and this is how I do that, and that's why this happens. And that, it's like there's a moment of total openness, complete knowing, complete understanding. It's what happens when what happened right before this. So it says that there was complete silence in the world, absolute utter silence. It's the Medrash in Shmos, right, that says that the world comes to complete silence when a world. Right, the world is the macro and a person is the micro. When we can come to that place of total silence, there's no mind activity, there's no heart activity, there's no body activity, there's a place of pure stillness and openness, which is the reason why, by the way, all of the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu and everybody, they were all shepherds, right? They were shepherds so that they could get to this quiet. When you get to that place, that's when you get divine revelation, and you go, and you have these very, very powerful experiences that totally shift. And like you're a different person when you get to the other side of that. So that's what he's explaining. They were having in that moment. That is the Matan Torah experience. Is not like they got the rule book to life. That is like the very bottom last part of this whole thing. Is that, and we also know what to do as we go through this thing. We also got a book of the deepest information on the planet. Like, that's Geschmack. But what they really got was the understanding of the entire creation. And everything, and back and forward, and it's like for a moment they all became Mashiach. They all understood everything. And so they died.
Are we talking about the first Anochi Hashem?
This is by Anochi. Yeah.
This is all by Anochi.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything that kind of came afterwards is maybe like a trickle down of this, but.
Yeah, but it's Anochi and Lo Yi, yeah. But this is the Gili, when we talk about the Gili of Matan Torah, this is the Gili that he's describing for
the
us.
Cold, when they said all at once, the Kol Kol Rimele, Rashi says that not just the first 10 of
that's right, everything. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
When there was the Gili, right? Yeah. Again, not the words, and not the information, the Gili. Information came later, right? So this is what's happening. When it says that they heard it all at the same time, that's what this
got
means.
Got it, yeah, right.
That's what we're describing.
The first two.
No, the Gili of the beginning, when God speaks, right? So yes, it's by the first two, but we die because everything in reality is shown all at the same time.
So why do you need to say the two? Why wouldn't it just be like, without words?
Look at Rashi before the Ten Commandments. Says, called like what Jacob was saying.
Right.
Just gives everything.
Right.
So, I'm still sorry. I'm not copying that. But so this, when it says Ani Hashem and you shouldn't have any other gods,
yeah.
Those are after the Kol Devarim. So they all die and then they say this two thing.
Well, Moshe Rabbeinu eventually has to write this all down. But when God speaks and those are the words that are spoken, but what comes through during
is
those words that are spoken is all of reality.
Those two Myron are the clue for everything.
Okay. And that's exactly right. That's the Marsha over there at the end of Makos, where he says, Taryag Mitzvahs, Torah is 611. That's what Moshe gave over, was 611. Two were from Hashem. And why did Hashem give over those two? So the Marsha over there says, because the entirety of reality, all of Torah, all of everything exists in those two, which is Chesed and Gvura, which is Tov and Ra, which is, you know, the duality of life that was given over in this world, sits there in, there's only one and there are no other. Good. Now you know everything.
Where's the Marsha
at? At the end of Makos, over there.
Rabbi, sorry to get overly technical, but just to be clear, because Rashi says that first he says all 10 at once, then he starts again, and then he says the first two, of which we hear both of those, and then we're like, Moshe, we can't do it. Based off that, it seems like we heard three gilus of sorts. One was the ineffable.
Right, that's really what it is, ineffable. It's not the experience of the hearing. That's what I was trying to say. The information comes later.
Yeah.
Again, and even when Rashi's saying it, you're dealing with something that's so high. We're using words, and the same way that he's doing it here, we're using words to describe an experience that's indescribable. So we're putting it in time as if, okay, first what God did was blew our minds. Good. Then what God did was blew our minds, right? And then what he did after that was he blew our minds, and then we're like, okay, enough.
Yeah, right.
Right. What really happened was, pow! We don't have words to it. So we put it in time and in order. Right?
Got it.
But
okay, got it.
You know what I mean? Like I think it's okay to understand it that way, and there's deep, deep lessons that come from understanding it that way. And Kesser, and then a Chachma, and then a Bina,
right.
And then okay, give me Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll be the dust for the rest, and that works. But
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Okay.
What was that?
V'hine kol ha'dvarim ha'ela gila le'enehem. So right, all of this he showed to them. To their eyes, right? So they all saw this, right? And he's said this like 15 times now, if you're paying attention, right? It's always, it was hidden from their eyes, it was revealed to their eyes. Hidden to their eyes, revealed from their eyes. Their eyes, their eyes, their eyes. Why is their eyes so important? So again, that's what we've been speaking about, you know, these last couple months, which is the eyes are always a reflection of your perception. They're what you see. So like, this was real. This wasn't an idea. This was now new perception, new consciousness, new awareness that showed up for them. Ra'u, they mamash sa, osam, they saw them, all these things. Vehesigo osam ba'emes, and they mamash understood all the parts. Vahatam lekozeh, they understood the reason for everything. Va'omek ha'etza ha'elyona ha'mesaveves kozeh, b'chachma rabba ad sofa kol. They understood the depth of wisdom and guidance, lofty wisdom and guidance, which encompasses everything in reality with the deepest wisdom, ad sofa kol, in every single way. The kan ra'u godel ha'torah ve'amitzvos, in that they understood, they saw the greatness of Torah in mitzvos, ma inyonam, and what is this? What are the spiritual reasons for all the mitzvos? The eichem polim, and how they actually do change the world. Hapa'ulos ha'gadolos b'chol abriya, the great empowering, powerful actions and things that are activated in the world, in creation. Meaning, they saw when you put on tefillin stops a war in China. Right, like, but seeing that, whatever the pu'ula was that it does, that it shifts, and the shefa, and how it comes here, and why it does that, and the whole thing, the whole ma'arechet, the whole system, the whole, everything that is described in anything, in any sefer, right, about how Torah works and why it works. V'ra'u kol dikduke mitzvah, they understood how every aspect of halacha, b'mahem tuluyim, what they're connected to spiritually, v'kamehem tzrichim ma'od ma'od, and why each little aspect of halacha makes the deepest significance on a spiritual level, k'moshe kasev zal, bein kol dibur v'dibur dikduke u'pratoseh shel Torah, like it says in Chazal, in between each dibur, they saw every little detail and nuance of the entirety of Torah. Va'al kol ze haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom omer lahem, and on all of this, Moshe said to them, when he said, Ata haresa ladas, ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim ma'al v'al ha'aretz mitachas ein od. That's what this pasuk meant. When Moshe says, what did you see? You were shown to know your das. You were given a internal new reference point for all of reality, that shem havaya, that Yudke Vavke, Hu HaElokim, he is all the powers of creation, Bashamayim Ma'al, in all the spiritual reality that exists in an imperceivable way, V'Ala Aretz Mitachas, and in all of material and physical reality that we experience down here, and Ein Od, and nothing else exists.
Wow.
That's what they saw. And that's what Moshe is like repeating to them. He's like, guys, don't you remember? You saw this? Like, Atahareisa Ladas, Kishem Olukim Enu Levado. That this is like tachlis of everything, and this is where we're going towards, right? We're moving towards what's the pasuk we think about? You think about Mashiach, Kimala Aretz Deas Hashem, right? The world be filled with this.
Wow.
That's where we're moving towards, right? You Atahareisa Ladas Kishem Olukim, right? What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Kimala Aretz Deas Hashem, right? Kamayim Le'amachasim, right? That's the direction that we're moving in.
It's wild that like this whole realization, all these details and this depth is a commandment to us.
What do you mean when you say that? I agree with you that it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
a pasuk in Devarim, and like the Rambam says, the first one, like first commandment, really is to know God. Like this is
it's a mitzvah. It's
and, like,
a, now
it's
you have to know.
For us who are like in such a, let's say, low level in comparison to like the expression, like how they saw the world and everything was revealed to them in a moment. That's a commandment to us to know and live in this state and depth of awareness.
Right, and that's why there is a mitzvah to remember Har Sinai and not to forget it. And what's it speaking about? It's speaking about this. Don't forget that.
It's so interesting. I know I've explained this to you, or I've shared this with you, but this is the only way I've always explained my experience when I like became home in the spot.
Right.
And this is like, literally what happened. Yeah, it was.
Right.
I didn't have the camera. I didn't know anything. I wrote in my little like journals. Like, I had all the information. Like, I knew why. Like, I was sitting there. Why my parents? Why Jews exist? Why Jews exist? What it is? I'm still trying to cop. Like, why would I have had that experience? Like, it was almost like a microcosm of Matan Torah.
Everyone, that the Alexander Rebbe says, when the pasuk says that everybody has to remember Matan Torah, he says it's not speaking about Har Sinai, it's speaking about your Matan Torah, your Har Sinai experience.
Everyone
says,
has
and everybody has some version of a Har Sinai experience in their life.
Yeah.
Everyone has it in a different way. He's come based on the Rambam. The Rambam says the same thing. Everybody has a flash of clarity in their life. That's how he describes it. Yes, people are given that moment. The Rambam says it, and then the Alexander Rebbe says it. He says that that's the pshat in Har Sinai.
Why are we doing that?
The same reason why Klal Yisrael gets that.
So we can relate on a deeper level?
Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants the evolution of reality, because Hashem wants us to be connected to Hashem.
And does the Alexander Rebbe and the Rambam say that this is only by Jews? Or
that's a good question. They're speaking about it in the context of Jews.
Yeah.
Should we say Nasa?
Could be the Rambam means it by everybody. Be the Rambam means it by
so, if you're talking about the Rambam where he says like you're walking through a field in a flash of lightning, and is that the Rambam? And I mean, as soon as that, it's like everyday events, meaning like you have a certain level of inspiration.
Yeah, but there's levels of that. There's levels. Like you kind of know there are certain things that were like oh, now I have to turn this way.
Right.
Right, like, I think you speak
right.
about
that.
That
obviously can be applicable to anybody. You know, so I need to be within the context of the Torah.
Right, if it moves you in the direction of God, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where is that Rambam? The lightning?
I don't remember.
Mor Nebuchadnezzar.
I think it is in Mor Nebuchadnezzar, but I don't know where.
And we say Nasa V'Nishma after this. It's like people will say, oh, like Nasa V'Nishma. It's like, well, maybe.
Duh.
Yeah,
we'll do that. Whatever that was, we're going to do that.
It's really, you got like you got shown everything. You don't actually understand. It's like it was a Das moment where it's like, I understand at the deepest level. And then, okay, now I'll do it to Nishma, to really Nishma, in the sense that I've like earned it myself and understood it myself, not just that it was shown to me. But if you've never had it shown to you in that way, how could you say Nasa V'Nishma this way?
Mm. Nice question.
Great.
I don't know how deeply I want to go down that rabbit hole. I was going to bring the Or Tzafon before, where he goes through this sugya. But then it will take us away from here. So maybe I'll show you the piece afterwards.
I think I know it.
Yeah, do you know which piece I'm speaking about? Where he speaks about the Gilui at Nasa V'Nishma?
Yeah. And
they saw the whole thing. I mean, he's... I mean...
It's like the second paragraph of one of those pieces.
I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'll
a third paragraph.
No, in
right in the middle, right?
It's in Yisrael Mishpatim.
It's the part where he's talking about Hashem.
Oneg Mitzvah, maybe?
I'm not really sure, but page 45, second word of the third paragraph, right? Something like that.
Okay, either way, you'll take a picture of this afterwards, but just to show you, I mean, he's describing the same thing. He just... You know, kol mitzvos shetzivanu kadosh baruch hu einan ela la'aneg behenas abrios. All of mitzvahs are for our pleasure. It's just for joy. V'yefshar lanu letara klal. It's impossible to describe lefi hamusagim shalanu according to our concepts as a shefa ha'oneg va'idun sheyesh behem. All of the joy and the pleasure that exists within all of Torah and mitzvahs. Chazal omrim schar mitzvah b'hayal maleika. Chazal say that in this world you can't fully experience the joy of what a mitzvah is. Hare shekol ha'tanugos shebechol kadur ha'aretz. If you take all the pleasure of the whole physical world, ubechol chalalo shel olam, and all the pleasure of all the cosmos, al kol hamone habruim, that every physical being experiences right now. So if you took every person and then every animal and every being that could experience all the joy of the entire physical reality and all the cosmos, and all of that, that wouldn't equal the sipuk of one mitzvah, right? ואף גן עדן שקדוש ברוך הוא הניח בו אדם ראשון שהעידונים שנכללו בו כפי שמתארים חז"ל, and that includes all of the Oneg of all of Gan Eden. Reb Dessler takes it one step further and he says it's not just all the pleasure that everything could experience in this world right now. He says that includes all the experience of every single person and every single Bria that ever will live and ever lived, right? And you put that all together, right? Gam hu ein bo kadei l'shalim schar b'shvil mitzvah achas. That wouldn't be enough to pay for one mitzvah, right? All of that.
How do you know something like that? I remember when I read that. How
what does that mean? Right? V'lama, and why? Mishum shebechol... Mitzvah yesh oneg kazeh she'ein lo gvul ve'ein lo shir, because every mitzvah has in it an aspect of this thing that's called ein sof, right? And we live in a world of sof, so no matter how much sof you fit into it, it is still sof oriented. Mm-hmm. It's not an ein sof dikka thing. So you can't fit ein sof into sof and then say that's good enough. It will never be good enough. It's not the thing that's infinite. V'kol tanugos tevel einam klum legabav. If you took all of that thing, it would be nothing. And then he goes on to say,
what's the free will of Nasa V'Nishma?
Right.
After you know that.
Right. Heim lo shamu esakolos kim ro'u sa mamash beinayim kamo davar sheba metzius. They saw with their eyes all of this as reality. He's coming from here. Right. Ulechein anu Nasa V'Nishma. So they said Nasa V'Nishma.
Oh.
Right. So... Okay, I'll take a picture of this and I'll send it to all you guys. Okay, so you guys can go through this whole piece and then.
Which he's agreeing with Jacob that it's not really.
Yeah, he's saying. No, he's setting up. We'll go through this whole thing. I want to make sure that we finish this where we started.
But he answers the question of how we could still say now.
I'm setting. Yeah, I'm setting you up that you're good. Good question.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
right,
good.
And he's saying. And then he says, "Mikila Razu Livne Adam," right? Lefisa Ain Hapela Shamunasa Vinishma.
Thank you.
Right? Like he sets it up and then he asks you an exact question, which is like, duh. That's like just revealed all of reality to you and then told you where everything makes sense. And like, you know, it's like the number one question that I get is, but Rabbi, why halacha? Like everything else is great, but like halacha? Like that? But halacha, right, is osios hakala, right? That's the bride, right? That's the relationship with Hashem wants us here, right? It's this. It's revelation of all of that in the world, right? And you get to this place of Einod Milvado, right? And this is, whatever, I couldn't bring it. It's too much for now. But that he's medayik over here. A lot of the Sfarim are medayik that it says, why didn't it just say, Ata hareis ladas ki Hashem, hu bashamayim ima'al Einod?
Right,
why did you have to say Hashem Hu Elokim, and why do you have to say Ve'al Aretz Mitachas? You bring me into Din, and you bring me into the Aretz, into the ground, into the Tachas, into down here. And then you say Ein Od. And you're like, yes, there is Od, there's down here. Look, I feel like Od. This looks like Od. What do you mean? And Kamash Malan is, no, the whole Tachas of the Bria was that even this, Ein Od. Right? That's what we're coming to work out, is that all of this is the same Hashem Hu Elokim.
To make it that it's not separate anymore.
That's right. That's how we started this conversation, right? Dveikus, that the whole thing is working like that. That is the end goal. Echad, Hashem Echad.
It's passionate connection.
Huh?
It's a passionate connection.
Energetic connection. I have to speak to Rabbi Grishenfeld. I'm cholek.
So
I've decided that it's not the right definition. I think passionate connection is is the wrong definition. Passion is emotional. I don't think that's what Kedusha is. I think it has an emotional expression, but it's energetic, it's vibrational, it's Kedusha, it's at the end. It's at the end of Mesil Sisharim, right? It's at the top. And when we say that, what we mean is it's this like, you know, it may express itself as passion, but it also may express itself as total silence. It can express itself in a lot of different ways. Kedusha has different ways of showing itself. But the energy is alive. I think that's what he means when he says passionate. And I think sometimes when that word is used, we miss the essence of what it's really saying, of like this... it's energetic. It's like this powerfully moving energy. Whereas passion to me sounds like it's over here. Somewhere down here.
But he lives in here.
Passion. I know. And I think that's the problem. Because for him, it's all, that is passion.
He means intellectual
passion. Yeah, I know that, but it's the wrong word. Wrong word. Okay.
The first commandment then would be, because knowing is almost limiting, is that you'll never know, and therefore you gotta keep digging deeper always.
What, say that one more time? I missed it.
Therefore, to know that God exists, like really the commandment is knowing that you'll never know, and therefore, like you'll never ultimately know, even with all this expression, like knowing, like all the Torah, and therefore you always need to go like
That's right. We're always reaching for the infinite.
Right.
So when you're reaching for the infinite, again, they were given a taste of that, a gilui of that, which we get. When do we get to taste that to some degree?
Shabbos.
Right. There's all the moedim, all of Shabbos gives you a little bit of that. There's one moed where it reflects. Well, there's really two, but. Not from an experiential level, experientially that's what Purim is supposed to be for us, right? Because Purim is when we say, knock out the thing that makes us get stuck in the world, right? So nodas, like you know, adeloyada, right? When you knock that thing out, so you're like, okay, now what's left, right? I'm not thinking, no thinking. What happens when I stop trying to work within the world of form? Fill me up. And so, and that's why it's a day of Matan Torah, right? Purim is Kabbalah Sator Me'ava, right? So you get, it's from below, whereas Shavuos is from above. At the end of the day, it was a Gilui. At the end of the day, that's what it means, by the way. What does it mean that Hashem held a mountain over our head? Mm. It means a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But one of the meanings is, can you say no after you see this?
It was obvious.
No.
No, that's a mountain over your head.
Forced,
to walk away from that, you're dead.
Yeah.
You are dead. I mean, you literally don't have a meaning in your existence.
Yeah.
Can't say no. That's a mountain over your head.
In a sense, that's why we were like almost like not liable for it.
Right, and that's why, exactly, and that's why we need to find it from within. And what's the whole nace of Purim? I'm looking for God in the world. That's it. Oh, I don't see God's name written anywhere. Yeah, but the, you know the Kedushas Levi says? It's like one of my favorite pieces in the Kedushas Levi. He says everybody's wrong. He says it says God's name in the Megillah. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
He says, you know, you know where the name, you know what says his name? It says the Megillah. It says the whole thing is God's name. So that's how we have to look at life. You're right, it doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. He says, but the whole thing is Hashem's name. He says, and that's the Gilui of the Megillah. The Gilui of the Megillah is, even if it never said God's made, you have to know that every single experience was God's name in the world. Right? That's what we're working on to come to, which is why Purim is the holiday that lasts forever, right? When Mashiach comes.
Alright.
Yeah, that's which is Gishmak, by the way. Like, if you have to choose one to go with. Yeah, it's going to be fun. You're all invited, by the way. This year it goes into Shabbos. We're going to host a Suda that goes into Shabbos. You're all invited to come here, post your Suda for our Suda whenever. Doors are open, and we'll set up something nice. And we'll do Kabbalah Shabbos at the table. I'll stay around this time. And it's going to be Geschmack.
Oh, that's
okay.
So awesome.
Okay, let's at least go through here.
I was thinking Som Gadol would be the last hug we'd have, but...
Okay. It just never gets old, this piece. He says, so God showed them all of reality. Va'almahu omid, and what it stands on. V'yedu biberer, and they had absolute clarity. Shehu levado hamanhig, that the only thing that was moving anything in this world was God. V'ein shum hanhaga acheres, and there's no other guide in this world. Lo tivis, velo mikris, velo bishum derech acher, not nature, not accidental, not in any other way. Ella hahanhaga shehu yisbarach shmo manig ba'omek ka'etza shegilahem. It's God running everything all the time. V'tzivalahem, k'mo shekasev laheshiv elibam. The commandment was to internalize this. Ha'emes hazeh, this truth, right? Sheyia misyashiv behem bli shum safek, that you should live with no doubts. K'mo shero oso bebir shalom. In the same way that you, like, as if you saw them. That's what the pasuk means when it says, you knew today, right, i.e. this day, just because you have a gili one day doesn't mean you're going to change your life. I want this to change your reality, right? So that's why we get this gili, and the next 2,000 years, right, following all the working out of Torah, is live with it, live with it. Let's change the world. V'hine kol ha'dvarim ha'ele ro'u osam v'zman matan Torah. This is what they saw at matan Torah. V'chein kasov hein hir'enu Hashem Elokeinu eskevona. They were shown, right? The words he uses over and over again are re'ia and enayim, re'ia, enayim, re'ia, enayim, re'ia, enayim. Why? Because this was visceral, it was real, it was not, it's not a thought. That's what he's trying to get us out of, because we're so used to thinking intellectually. It's like, this wasn't a thought, this was an experience. That's why he commanded them, what you saw with your eyes, you mosarim levineim levinei vineim ledoros, that's what you're giving over. You're not giving over an idea of religion, you're giving over your God experience, right? That's what we're sharing. Which is why Hasidus and their revival of these inyanim were, they felt, the Baal Shem Tov felt, and all the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov felt afterwards, that Judaism gets rusty when you yourself are not having the God experience. Because that's really what you have to give over to your kids. If you're not living the true God experience, then you're just giving over concepts. And if you're giving over concepts, it's dead in a couple generations. It's over. Concepts can only last so long, right? You need to have it. That's the real Masorah. The real Masorah is your kids sitting with you at Seder night, and they're asking you real questions, real life questions, and you're giving them real life answers. V'hu masha amar lahem, that's why we have this mitzvah, like Yohan was saying, Raki shamer lecha v'shamor nafshecha ma'od. Prepare yourself, guard yourself, pen tishka chesed dvarim asher ra'u einecha, right? Lest you forget the things you saw with your eyes, upen yisura milavavcha koy mechayecha, lest it leaves from your heart all the days of your life, v'hodatim levanecha v'lipnei venecha, this is what you're giving over. It doesn't say what you heard, ela asher ra'u einecha, what you saw with your eyes. You had a true Chachma experience a bittle of this entire world to see a deeper part of reality. And he's going to go on to say, right? And that's why you should learn Kabbalah, right? That's like his, as he goes on, his whole thing. He's like, that's what we're doing in here. That's what I'm doing. Everything I'm doing is, I'm trying to help bring us back to this, to give you v'yadata hayom v'shivosa elavavecha, to bring you back to the Har Sinai experience. This is what we're trying to give over. That's what he's doing here. But for us, it doesn't have to be learning Kabbalah. This is about anything that you do to get yourself closer to that place, to that experience of seeing the koach of ma. There's a power in essential energy in the world. There's an essence running reality. There's a oneness that connects us all in this room and connects us to all things and to all time and all space, and that is beyond boundaries. And that's what we're doing. That's the purpose of all the learning, and the purpose of all the avoda, and the purpose of all of this is to come to that connection, right? We get that there are two ways to get there, through our own avoda or through God saying there's a special time to reveal that. Those are the two ways. So you can go and do the work, and you can daven, and you can meditate, and you can learn, and you can expand your mind, and expand your heart, and you can do all that. And then you can walk into a Shabbos and just have an out-of-the-body experience, because you go to a certain place, you go to a place like Tzfat, you go to the Kotel, people go to the Kotel, boom, all of a sudden life-changing experiences. There are places in the world, there are times in the world where Kadosh Baruch Hu allows for a special Gili to happen. And there are things you can do to create space for that Gili to happen, right? And it's a combination of Chachma, Bina, and creating space, that Das, that Menuchas and Nefesh. I don't know if you guys were at the alumni shiur we did a couple weeks ago online, Zoom, for the alumni. There was that piece from Revolbi. Was anybody here there for that shiur?
Is this your shiur?
The shiur that I gave
it's
online.
Nice to listen to.
So there's this piece where Revolbi says, this is why menucha is so important. Like, we need to focus on menuchas and nefesh. And I think in this door more than ever, because we are more distracted than probably any door that ever came before us. Like, there's just so much sensory experience. There's so much happening all the time. And he says, no menucha means no kedusha, period. Nothing to talk about. He's like, no menucha means no das, period. Nothing to talk about. No menucha means no getting to know yourself. Nothing to talk about. You can't get there. You can't get there from there. You can't get to truth from noise. Lo barash Hashem. That's the pasuk, right? God's not in the noise. Lo barash Hashem.
Oh,
it's mamash a pasuk. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, in the Gemara, it's like you can't. It's like the stillness was God.
Yes. Yeah. That's they quote that pasuk over there by the Gemara. But the pasuk is in Micha, if I recall. Lo barash Hashem. I think it's in Micha. I can tell you.
Is the noise referring to
everything?
Distraction, like everything
around?
Yeah. All the noise. Bina. And then because that will be the stillness, right? Or word of it, yeah.
Just tell you where it is.
Is that why urban places are super secular usually? Because it's too loud, too noisy, so chaotic.
This one is so weird.
The more urban, like when you go to a city, it's like where all the atheists and secular people are. Whereas in the countryside is where like the religious Christians and the more spiritual people are, because there's less.
Makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, it could be that there's also a backlash to that. Meaning, you have in Manhattan, there's like a lot of spiritual seekers, probably for that reason, because they were like, we're done. It's in Malachim, not Micha. Sorry, Malachim Aleph. Yud Tes, Yud Aleph. No. Aleph, Yud Tes, Yud Aleph. No, this is a Tal Lechaim. Malachim has Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis.
Right.
So in Malachim Aleph, it's Perik Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph.
Where is it said for?
Hmm?
What is it said about? What's the context it said?
It's talking about Revelation. And it says Hashem is not found in the noise. So
isn't that limiting in a sense?
Huh? Oh. No. It doesn't mean that God isn't in the noise.
It's how we
can
find
see
him.
It.
It's that
you
can.
See it.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to find it in the noise.
I was going to say, just pulling this all the way back to what we said in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we have this Tohu Torah. This Gila that Hashem basically did to, I won't say Usher and Torah, he said sorry with Adam and Eve, but almost like a, what was the Lamaisa purpose of this revelation? And also at the time that it happened.
It's the answer to your question of why do you have that experience in Tzfat? it's to change the direction of reality. It begins the next phase of the Bria.
So really, on our own, we could never get to Mashiach.
Yeah, of course not.
Right.
And of course, yeah.
So then why give us the first 2,000 years of Tohu? I mean, why not start with Mount Tohu?
It has to set us up for the revelation.
We couldn't have, like...
If I sit there with my baby Eliza and read this, she literally thinks I'm saying... She doesn't even understand language.
Right.
I can't.
So you're saying that we were primed through the first 2,000 years?
We learned how to be people. Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, Kad Mal
HaTorah. Yeah, wow. Is that one of the pshatim?
That is the pshat, right? How many generations is it between creation until the giving of the Torah?
40.
20?
Oh, no,
no,
it's the whole 100.
15.
100.
10 to...
128?
Adam to Noah, right?
Oh, 10 from Adam to Noah.
And 10
to Noah. Abraham.
Great.
And then 3 to get down to... the kids.
Gets you
to 26.
Good.
Oh, cool.
Right? No accidents. Right? So, those 26 Doros, meaning even the Doros where you don't see the revelation of God, they're priming you for Havaya. They're priming you for God. That's the Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah is also God. Right? So, we're given 26 generations to show us that, like, that was also there as the ability to get to this thing called Torah, but you go through that the same way that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes the world with Katan, and then you become a Gadol. I mean, this is one of the questions all the Svarim ask is, why didn't God make it that you're born and you already know how to think, and it's all put together, right? It's like, that goes back to the, I mean, whenever you, if you follow the train of thought all the way back, it gets you back to, why didn't God just put us in Olam Haba?
That is
the question, right? And then, right, so that's we very often have to see that our questions on the outside are really, like, super fundamental. Basically, all the questions come back to, why is there free will? Why did God put us in this world? Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah,
right? Like, that's it. Those are all the questions. Any question you have, that's what you really ask.
And you went around how?
Right.
Every answer is always lechem on. Like, it always comes down to lechem on.
Lechem.
But what does lechem on mean? Lechem
Pusha. Why Hashem gave us free will.
Right.
I mean, because we have to earn it, and that's the most good that he can give over. Right.
Right. And so then people... If you're a thinking person, you'll ask.
So make it so that we don't
make
need
it
that.
So that we don't need that.
Well, then that's the whole.
Then Rabbi Tad says you can't build that into creation.
You won't be similar to Hashem.
Right.
You
mean similar to Hashem is the greatest
good. Is earning it for yourself.
All of these are very, very nice. Lots to say. All of these are very, very good Hashkafic points. But what he's trying to say is there's. We're living right now. If we had time, I would love to go through whatever. There's, thank God, thank just the Hodul Hashem Kitov, you can cry from all the beautiful Torah. We live in a world where there are questions and answers. What he's telling us is that the direction we're moving is you get to a place where there are no more questions. Not that you have answers. Getting to a place where there's perfect Hasaga, when you go in, it's not that, oh, now I understand why this had to happen. It's you get to a place where you don't have that question. Life is perfect.
That's our goal.
Well, that's the direction we're moving in. So that's Hashem's goal. That's life's goal. That is the reality. Where it's like, you know what it's like? This is Rav Gershenfeld's mashal all the time with the baseball coaches, batting coaches.
How do they can never actually be
batting? The really great baseball players make terrible coaches because they don't even see the problems. They're like, just hit it.
Right.
It's difficult. Like, you have to bring yourself down, right? And that's what, you know, to bring us back into chinuch, which is officially why we're here. I don't know why we're here anymore except to learn Torah together.
It's all good.
It's all good.
We know why we're here.
We know why we're here. But this is how Hashem taught us Torah. But you do. He was just like,
so we should give people that.
Just give them flashes.
Just
that's
it.
LSD we can borrow.
Borrow.
I've got lots of LSD. Oh man. We gotta think of a good acronym for LSD for this one.
Loving systematic Daira.
Daira.
You have to go down. You have to go down. To be able to share it to people when you're up there, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu gets frustrated by the people. He's like, "Don't you see God everywhere?" And they're like, we'll give a snake. It's like, thank God. You know, it's like it is a Purim spiel. You know, like Moshe's relationship with the Jewish people in the desert. He's like, Hiru be'enecha, v'yadata yom v'shivos alavet. Like, don't you guys see? And they're like, food. Food.
What happened?
Like, it is so frustrating. You can imagine.
Why did they? How did
I feel
they,
for him?
How did they sin after this? Like, how? Like, obviously, I mean, I'm sure there's many deep answers in a long conversation. But is there like a,
we
especially seeing something like
problems.
This?
Just
what?
To have these problems too.
What happened? They just.
Oh,
it's just human. It's just the human nature of it that it's what happens to us, or did?
It's not integrated. That's the push-up shot.
Yeah.
The most simple shot is you can have a life changing experience and still not change your life.
Mm.
Every mirror trip.
Except for the few people.
No. I'm not saying you won't. It's that you can.
Right.
You can have a life-changing experience and not change your life. That's real.
Good job, Chavez.
I really don't mean to be a cofer at all. I'm asking for...
Can't help yourself.
Just... When you meet somebody who's gone through one of these experiences or like is connected to this and able to hear Hashem in the silence, they're always really inspiring people, and it's a beautiful thing that you want to get in touch with. Then you'll see that there are these milas in people like Christians and Muslims, and they also are so confident, feel so connected. They're like, I've experienced the J-man. Like, I've experienced the... And obviously that's connected to Hashem in some way. It's just... And you look at them and you're just like, what did you... Like, you're just as confident as... My Rebbe, like, made, obviously you're different, but like my Rebbe, and that's like real. But like you have that same like semi look in your eye, obviously distorted. But it's like what happened that you?
I don't even think it has to be obviously distorted. That you, well, they can have a God. Why
yeah.
can't they have God experiences?
But it's more of it's like they'll speak about it, but like the J man came to me and said this. It's just so it's so maybe that is just true. Maybe that's what God.
Well,
wants
how does
them
it work? And then,
pretty straight lines.
Okay. Someone's sitting there meditating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, infinite wisdom taps into this thing. And his brain is filled with opinions. Right? That'll be the word we use here.
Mm-hmm.
That's always going to be the filter through which you receive whatever the light is. Always. You have images, thoughts, opinions, biases. So if you're a Christian and you tap into a deep space, it's going to come in through those visions and those pictures and those ideas, and that's how it's going to come through for you. The same way that for the Yechezkel, it came through as, you know, animals and wheels and fire, and because those were the images of power and movement that you have at the time. Those are the metaphors that come through, and, you know, like, it's just that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, I'm not saying all of them are real. I'm sure there's a ton of them that are, like, just... Sheker. They're not having a divine experience, and they're walking around and they're like, yes, I spoke to JC, or I, you know, Mohammed came to me and told me I have to destroy the Twin Towers or what. I don't know, like all sorts of mishugas and craziness, because people are also crazy. But the people who have real experiences, it's like you don't blame them for their experience. That's their experience. Let them be them. Nothing to do with us or you or... As I don't really hear where the kasha is. Let them have their experience.
No, I'm with you. No, I'm definitely with you. It doesn't need to be that just because it's not like...
Kadosh Baruch Hu has it on purpose. This is like... We have to follow your question all the way to the root. What's your real question? Judaism, Christianity, other things. Real, not real. How does it work? So this is the Rambam. You know the Rambam.
Where he says that it was a good thing that they...
Right.
That it's a step of the process towards Mashiach.
Yeah, that's what you need.
So we can look at that's a good perspective. I just want to maintain that is that when you hear it, it's not like, oh, you hear the word J-man, now I just can totally bottle everything you've experienced. It's like, no, it's he's seeing it through his opinion filter.
Yeah.
But there is something that he's deeply connected to it, and there is a beautiful aspect of him going vertical, and that's a big win.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. The problem is what happens when you conceptualize that. Usually the people who are having these really big, powerful experiences, they're not running around trying to kill all the Jews. The problem is when you...
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is when you take that and then you intellectualize it and conceptualize it, you start to lose... That's what happens every time. We spoke about this in one of the classes before where we turned this off and we looked at one of the pieces in A New Earth where he described how that's the problem with... He was talking about Hasidus, but then he was speaking about every spiritual path, that when you conceptualize and idealize and turn it into ideologies, that's what he said, and you get groups and organizations that go around it, so then it gets stilted and it gets rusty and it gets weak. So and then you lose it. So individuals can have a spiritual, one has nothing to do with the other. You can have a profound godly experience. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it happens to be that you had it through whatever conceptions you had when that was happening to you, and that's fine. But like, really, 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 like, I think we're getting beyond that also.
It's interesting because they're starting to have a lot of issues with their whole structure of like the journey, the gym, and this guy, like their systems. They're just like, I just want God. And like the atheists are tearing down the Sheker in Christianity.
Yeah.
The Christianity asks like questions that atheists, and they kind of are like ending up in this like B'nai Noach world, underratedly, where like there's just the spiritual thing and then be moral.
I think that the New Age spiritual movement in America was a really good thing for America in a lot of ways. Because it arose at the same time as atheism arising. It came to combat atheism in a lot of ways. Like you had these two things because religion is important and it's structurally extremely important for America and for the world, right? In every way. But science became the new religion, and so kind of like as a response to that, we're like, wait a second, hold on. We can have the real experience without the dogma. That's a good thing when the dogma's wrong.
Totally. Okay, totally.
That's a very good thing.
It's just a weird thing because I'm rooting for you to like be religious, but like don't get too religious to your religion. I mean, obviously, it's not my responsibility. It's just like, what is a Yid rooting for from the sidelines of like the B'nai Noach? It's like, get close to the religious part of your religion, not the systematic part. Like, don't start studying the text too much. Just like, God. It's just, the opposite of what you want from a Jew, is you want both, like getting the text, getting the... Whereas buy into the system, but don't be overly systemized even still.
Maybe it's a chisaron in me. I don't think that far into like what they should or shouldn't be doing. It's like, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. That's not in your control. Your control is to work on your midos, to work on your connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to learn Torah, to be a light in the world, you know.
I'm just trying to see Hashem's plan as much. Like, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, but this is helpful. This is great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. What happens when you can understand something or something... You know, and you don't have questions because you know this too comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Well, if you can't understand something, that means you still have a question. Those are the words. What the words mean.
Right. But if you understand it, isn't it like, for example, let's say like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Like the brick, putting the babies in the brick. He could understand that, so he...
No, good. What did Hashem say to him? Shtuk. Get quiet. That's the only way you'll get there, is you have to go to a place of quiet.
Of silence.
Can't understand some things with ideas. Yeah, I don't know who that is, but...
Interesting.
Want any more before I put them away?
No. Maybe can I ask before you mentioned that the Alexander Rebbe, the command to remember Sinai?
Wait, sorry? What'd you say?
I don't know if I have. That's a good question. Sorry, hold on just one second. Sorry to call you out. No, it's okay. I can say no to that.
No, kid.
Yeah.
So that command to remember Sinai. And the point about it needing to be each of us, I guess, are whatever our individual Sinai moments are.
Right.
So I've been thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the...
I'm listening to you, I'm just looking for that.
Yeah, please. And now I'm thinking about the point you just made about how this infinite light getting filtered through everyone's opinions, images, and biases. I mean, that applies for us as well. I mean, we'll have more things like a Jewish and a Torah framework that we're filtering it through, but... Is there some sort of risk even for us too that we over-conceptualize for ourselves those sort of more infinite experiences, and then the more we try to think about and remember, the less we're actually, like, the more weak that signal gets? Does that make any sense?
Try again.
So just 2 points. I'm seeing like the each person should remember their
own personal
experience,
yeah.
right? But when we do that, I mean, that hard sign experience is that like infinite light that you drew on your diagram,
yeah.
right? And we ourselves have our own opinions, images, and biases. Now, granted, hopefully those are influenced by Torah framework,
mm-hmm.
right? But is there some risk that the more we try to remember those hard sign experiences, we increasingly remember them through like the filter of the concepts and opinions that we've created. And any memory you have, you lose fidelity over time.
Yes.
So is it possible for ourselves over time, the fidelity that hard sign experience, as we paradoxically, we keep trying to remember it, we keep losing the fidelity to it.
Yeah, I think the question's good. And I think what he means when he says remember your own Sinai experience, I think we're talking about in times where now you've moved into a world of doubt.
Yeah.
Right? You've now, but life is unclear to you, and you have to remember, wait a second, hold on. I've had clarity before.
Yeah.
I've had clarity before, right? And that becomes an anchor for you, not to say, that's the reason why I do everything I do, but that's the reason why I still move in the direction of trying to have more of those experiences, right? Meaning, it's an anchor. It's almost like a rooting for you in where you go afterwards. But not there to be turned into just a concept of like, right, I had this powerful experience and that's it. Now my whole life has to be a revelation of that experience. It's no, you have to remember that you have a connection to this infinite source and you can have that connection again.
Right, so not trying to like relive.
It's not about reliving it,
yeah.
but it's about being anchored in the fact that like, that's true. That's true. Sometimes you have certain experiences just so that you know this is really where it's at. Like, this is truth. I don't have to live my life based on the thoughts that I had during that experience. It was there for another reason completely. I can think of several experiences in my life where it's like, right, even though I may not have had those particular experiences since then, but the fact that I've had them allows me to keep moving and saying, okay, well, I don't have to have them all day, every day to know that it exists. I know it's there. And you keep moving in your direction, but those things anchor you in that truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like an invisible thread from one to the next.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why does Avram parallel Tohu? It's so strange. I guess Tohu would be the. It's more raw material.
Yeah, and it's also Chesed is overwhelming.
Like what's happening?
So it's too much.
And it's funny now. Din is parallel to, not Torah. I guess Gilui Har Sinai is more Din. Is that you went up, you saw it, you totally, but.
It's you only get to that gili through bittul. You have to move out to yourself.
Ah, okay. Ah, because I would have paralleled the gili sounds like a you don't do anything chesed, it's a free gift. But structurally we're thinking about it more as chesed is overwhelming, I don't know what to do. Then it's okay, like let go of myself and now I can see.
Here's $1 trillion. Go enjoy your life. Right? That's like, whoa. Bittul is... this whole goof, this whole ego, this whole structure is nothing. There's nothing. There's money doesn't even exist. Nothing exists. Right? And then you go, and then you come to a high revelation that way. It's different, completely different ways of getting to a God experience. And the Gilui of Mashiach is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. We need everything in the world. You need everything out of the world. Everything all works together. Yud, Ekev, Yaakov. Everybody wins. Happy, smiling.
The raw materials come together with the nullification of ourselves. And now... join the two together.
Einod milvado, v'shamayim ma'al, ve'al aretz mitachas. It's all...
awesome.
Yeah.
That's the Bina Gevura state?
Huh?
It was the Bina Gevura state or the Das state?
Oh, in this particular paradigm, it's going to be the Gevura, Bina Gevura state. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be like Yitzchak.
And then Das would be...
Mashiach. Das. Yaakov. Yud, Ekev.
Yeah.
Tiferes.
Together.
Okay, we're all familiar with Erchin. You've spoken about
Erchin
value things? Not the Masechta, but the concept, whenever we're speaking about these things. Because for me, that was a really big help. And I was probably in my third or fourth year of yeshiva when I sat down with, do you guys know Aryeh Shulman from Chicago?
Yeah.
He's a huge Talmud Chacham. went to Machon Yaakov. Genius, genius. He was in his 11th year of medical school when he stopped to go to yeshiva. And like, just Russian guy, brilliant guy, unbelievable. And he's a Rosh Kollel now in Chicago. And he was one of the people in the very beginning of my journey that helped me kind of ease my way into Maharal and Ramchal and Leshem. And he showed me this piece. He didn't show me a piece. He told me. We were in a taxi on the way to Rabbi Gershenfeld's house. And he was explaining to me this concept called Erchin in Torah, which is a concept you're already familiar with. But it's just so important that it's always in your mind, which is everything exists everywhere as a structure. So anything you learn is always going to be true on some level everywhere else. So what that means is Chesed Vore Tiferes will be true in every sugya that we learn. And the idea that there's 10 parts to something will be true in everything that we learn. And the idea that there's 4 letters, like you can break down everything in Torah and say, like, here's the one idea, because you're speaking about in unity. Or you can say, here's the neshama in the guf of the idea, right? And you split it into two. Or you can split it into a nefesh, ruach, neshama, chesed, vore, tiferes, chachma, bina, das type of reality. Or you can split it into 4, right? Which is going to be the yud kei vav kei reality, right? Or you can split it into 5, which is the yud kei vav kei with the kutzo shel yod, or the nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayichida, right? Or you can split it into 6, which is the 6 days of the week, or into 7, which is going to be the 7 days of the week and the 7 roam, and which is going to be chesed through malchus, right? Or you can split it into 8, right, which is going to bring you all the way up to a world of spiritual relevance, right? The idea that we can do that is because that's true. This is the fractal system idea, which is really what Erchin means, which is that everything exists everywhere. Right? That's what it means. And that's why sometimes when that's not explained, if somebody doesn't say, hey, by the way, this is what's happening over here, or if you're learning a sefer and you're like, wait a second, this doesn't fit, it's akasha with that. It's like, oh, because I'm in the wrong erech right now. I'm looking at it through a bechina of 2, and right now he's speaking in 3. Or I'm thinking about it in terms of chesed vore tiferes, but he's speaking about it in terms of chachma bina das. Or I'm thinking about it in, right, you understand?
The chachma in bina, not the chachma in...
Very nice. So somebody could say bina, right? But really, the whole thing is in the context of chachma. And so, like, you're like, but wait, how could this be bina? This sounds so much like chachma. And it's like, right, it's the bina of chachma, because the whole thing you're in, you're actually in the chachma system right now. So everything he says is in the world of chachma. No matter where he is, it's still going to all resonate like that.
Oh my God.
That
huge.
It's huge. It's extremely important. It can get complex when that's not clear, but knowing that is helpful.
Is when you know that, I'm trying to figure out if that helps me make sense of things, or if it mushes everything together in a certain sense. Because you could say, well, it's everything. Oh, this is everything, and this is everything. It's like, meaning like, it's sometimes it was like really cool, and it's like, oh, when you see this breaks down to help me be a dots, and you're like, whoa. Now it's like, yeah, and it also breaks down to everything else, and actually right here it's also help me be dots. It's like, I guess it's kind of the point of Hashem is that we're not going to be able to understand it from any perspective.
Well, no, it's that these are kalim to understand the or that they're holding.
But if it's everything all the time, then...
Well, it just depends what... It's like... water is always going to be water, but I can put it in different sized cups, right? So I want to get to the water, right? Because I need to drink, and I want the or, the energy of that which I'm getting to. And sometimes we break it up this way, and sometimes we break it up that way. And it is easier to drink certain, maybe water is the wrong idea, maybe we'll call it liquids, but some liquids are better in a shot glass, and some liquids are better in a can, right? And some liquids are...
Shot glasses are always better.
I agree. right? And so...
I like the mugs.
Huh?
I like the mugs. The jars.
It's helpful. It makes it more...
But it's not... It's not... It's... I hear where your concern would be, but it's also not that. It's extremely precise. It's just knowing that that's true allows you to know... This is about navigation. That's what this is about. It's not saying everything is everywhere and therefore don't worry. It's like, just know everything is everywhere. Everything exists everywhere, and therefore be highly sensitive to what you're reading. Because they may say Bina, but the context of the whole piece is in Chachma. They may say... They may be speaking about Avram, but Avram within the context of Malchus, right? That's maybe how they're using him in their whole vision, and therefore you're somewhere else, right? It's knowing where you are on the ladder, knowing where you are in the building, right? So
and I guess just from the beginning.
Every floor has 100 rooms, but what floor are you on makes a difference.
Yeah.
right? So room number 56 is going to have a certain relevance on every floor when you get to 56, right? That room number always is pink, let's say, right? But there may be 100 different shades of pink, right? They're all pink, but they're all different shades of it based on what floor you're on. And you have to know where, and right? So it's actually a vast system. Knowing that everything is everywhere helps one to navigate where they are in the whole vision. So Chachma is always going to be Chachmadik, right? But depending on where you are or who, what it is, like, if I speak about Chachma Bina Das regarding information, that's very different than speaking about Chachma Bina Das regarding relationships. Mm.
Define the context.
The structure is the same. The content is different.
Mm. So I guess, let me ask this. So for example, let's take Abraham. So I think part of the reason this is hard for me is because, you know, beginning it's like Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Chachma, Chesed, Din,
Emes.
Boom. Like, okay, great. Got
that's
this guy's figured
now
out.
Now I understand
like,
reality.
Yeah. Okay. Like, now it's like, no. Also, Abraham is also Bina and...
But
and
not,
MS
but
and,
but not, but not.
Meaning what? So then what?
If there's
a fractal of that within him, it just means that I'm looking at the fractal in that certain place right now where I see primarily this aspect of Chesed.
When
I could also look at, in certain aspects and see the other ones. Like
when you see the din in Avram, you're gonna say, "Oh, there's the Yitzchak in Avram." Right?
Yeah.
Not that there is no din in Avram, but there's the aspect of Yitzchak that's in Avram. Right? When I see Yitzchak doing chesed, I go, oh, there's the I see the Avram that's in Yitzchak. I don't say he's Avram. He's Yitzchak. He's Bechinas din, but he has aspects of chesed. Right? There's elements of chesed within his experience. Everything is what it is. But you have to know that but nothing is solid state in such a way that it's only that. Especially if we're speaking about humans. Humans are complex. So we're going to have... It's like you have your dominant, you know, feature, which is your Avram Kovel, and like that's always... It's always going to be through the kli of Avram Kovel. But Avram has all these different parts. He has an aspect of him that's Atzilus, an aspect of him that's Bria, and then Yetzirah, and then Asiya, an aspect of you that's a Nefesh, a Ruch, a Neshama, a Chai, a Chida, an aspect of you that's all the ten spheres, an aspect of you that's like all the Avos and the Roem, an aspect of you that's Shlomo Melech. You have all these different parts of who you are, but it's all in the context of Avram, which is going to be totally different than, say, Jacob. Jacob will never be the Avram version of that. But he'll have also the same breakdown that you have, he also has. That's what I mean in terms of navigation. Like, it also exists all here, but it's not that. It's something else.
Just like a different balance of the same.
Yes, yes. They're completely different balance. And you know, it could be that the ore shines brightly on floor 6 over here, but shines brightly on floor 7 over there. And like, but you both have a floor 6 and a floor 7. But you're totally different. I mean, again, same in structure, difference in content. Right? Structurally, all the same.
Helpful.
It is.
That was helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, guys. Have a great job. Okay, we'll do the next one next.
Awesome.
Whose phone is that?
Which one?
Rabbi, how do you continue
the
Dipin
means
like.
If you don't, you'll airdrop it.